What's up, KBB Accelerator family? How you guys doing? Everybody good? Let's see. What's up, everybody? Good to see you guys. What's up? I can see you now. All right. Okay. First off, who has been following along? Have you guys been watching the Start Over Challenge at all? Raise your hand if you've been watching the Start Over Challenge. Some of you have. Awesome. Awesome. That's been fun and great stuff shared. All right. Let me tell you what we're up to today. So watching this evolution and watching us go and literally behind the scenes, figuring out how to really serve you guys on a weekly basis until we get to that, I mean, for the whole year. But we're really excited about the two-day virtual summit that's coming, and we're seeing feedback and your homework and getting things done and the questions asked and the Facebook group. And we're really on this and turning the knobs. And I want to share, today, we're going to, Arvin, myself, Teresa, the whole team decided where we can lock in another level of confidence, where we can lock in your next level of moving up, whether you are doing your first mastermind, scared to death about that first, you know, and I say mastermind, you know, that means anything online, any of that, right? Community, workshop, Zoom call, right? Or you're already doing it like so many of you already are and had to go the next level, right? How do we lock that in, lock in your next level of confidence to get your next level thinking, next level actions, next level results, right? That's what we're here for. And today we're going to go on how to share your knowledge in a way that is so empowering that people refer you, they come back, and you do it with absolute confidence. You know, in KBB, we have the story, teach, tool model. And today we're going to go deeper on that. We're going to start with the end in mind. Today, we're going to be working on the tools, the things that I could jump ahead a million different ways here. Arvin will be on here soon. But I wanted to take this first part because yesterday during, and I'm gonna be a little, my ADD might kick in a little bit. Okay. So just give me a break here. I'll wrap it all around. I won't leave anything out. But yesterday really inspired me when I was with my dear friend, Brendan Burchard, and him and I have helped each other for over a decade. And I love the way he thinks. I love his framework. And he loves the way my innovation and just a great combo. But some things yesterday that he shared in the challenge when he was sharing with everyone really sparked what's going to be trained to you guys today in the Story Teach Tool model and how that really can build another level of confidence. So if you're not 100% yet, so many of you are, if you're not 100% yet, what's my exact niche? Who exactly is going to want it? We'll circle back around to going deeper on your niche, going deeper on identifying your ideal client, how to do the hook story close on a whole nother level, how to make it real. All those things are coming. But we thought it was most important today to build that confidence up, to have a great breakthrough for you. So we're going to teach the Story Teach Tool model on how to deliver what's in here, either the first time or the next time, so much better than you ever could imagine. Now, the other thing I want to share with you too is, these trainings each week, I'm going to be completely transparent with you. When we first started, the weekly trainings were going to be more like Q&A and inspiration because the monthlies are a little deeper. And then the quarterly, oh my God, together for 2 days. And then twice a year together in person. That's really the main emphasis because that's what we have the biggest breakthroughs. Heck, what you guys are paying for a whole year, for years, we've charged more than that for our weekend events only. But the more we started thinking, these are unprecedented times. We need to create an unprecedented opportunity so people don't miss out. This is truly the time in history. This isn't just, I'm not trying to resell you. You're here. What I want to tell you, this is truly the time. I'm watching it. Tony's watching it. Brendan's watching it. If you saw Brendan yesterday, this is the moment. This is not only the time in history. It's the time in this year. I truly believe those that make this real in this year will be ahead of the curve forever. And I think those that wait, and I'm not saying this won't be great in 5 years from now, but I think it's one of those rare moments in history where the world's eyes are online. The world is saying, I'm not going back to school. I'm not going back to my office. I'm not going back to that job that's been hampering me or crippling me for years. Or I finally want to do this things. I want to fix the relationship. I want to get in shape. I want to find a better connection with God, have a better connection with my kids. That's happening so fast right now that the pendulum has shifted to to this truly is the new norm. And it's, I mean, Tony and I have been saying that since day one with KBB, but we didn't know this was going to happen and really anchor it in. So that's why we're so excited to take this 1 year journey with you guys. And again, decide as on the fly, is like, what would be the next best thing leading up to that 2 day intensive, leading up until we all meet in person, leading up until the next 2 day and the next in person. And then the 3 day event next year, we're all going to celebrate and have so many of you on stage sharing and showing Tony and I what you've done and what you've accomplished and the impact you've made on the world. So just know that when we, again, I just feel like it's my obligation to share with you guys that this isn't something we're throwing together and say, oh, just go live with everyone and just do a Q&A, answer a few questions and we're good. This is really well thought out. But know the big quarterly events, that's the anchor. That's the implementation. That's when the rubber really meets the road. And I'm also going to encourage you guys to play full out. Don't look for a reason to say, I don't think this is for me, not the knowledge industry now. I'll do it when things get back to normal. This is your time. This is our time as knowledge brokers to step up. So I want to tell you some of the things that I've known for years, but yesterday's training with Brendan really anchored it into me. Now, yesterday, if you're watching the replay, obviously it wasn't yesterday, but it's in my heart. I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning, actually 4:45, and I wrote a page of notes for you guys on some of the things that really stood out that as the next couple of weeks, as we go through Story Teach Tool and really design what you're going to teach, I don't care if you've taught 50 masterminds, 50 seminars, these are things that I work on all the time. Tony works on all the time. I was on a call yesterday, just behind the scenes a little bit, with Tony for 3 hours talking about an online event he's going to do. And Tony doesn't do many, right? KBB, but not much else. So because the world has changed, he knows the world needs him. And we talked about Story Teach Tool, different framework, different words, for 2 hours at a 3 hour call yesterday. Well, if I teach this story, what is the lessons I can learn here? And then what action step, what's a tool I could get it to anchor it in? Like, that was our conversation, Tony and myself, the same conversations we're having. So if you think, I already know that, does Tony already know it? 40 years of doing that? We have to remind ourselves, we have to fine tune it. So today, working backwards, if we think of Story Teach Tool, we're gonna, again, be working on the tool because we found with our in-person events and live events and virtual events, it really helps you identify the story. But I want to break this down in a way for you that I thought was magical yesterday with Brendan. So first, does confidence take us to another level, right? If we're confident about what we're sharing, if we're confident about what we're going to teach, does that confidence trickle upwards when you do your marketing or you ask for the money or you make the sale? Absolutely. If you know for a fact, I can't wait to serve this to people, then it overflows, it kind of blankets all of what you're doing in confidence. And that's why we chose to do today. So let's think about the story. Now, again, we're going to go deeper on the story. You're going to have homework in a future lesson next week, week after, to not only identify the story, but to fine tune the story and to create new parameters. So there was a word Brendan said yesterday. It was so, I keep giving him credit because I love the guy. He's a dear friend, but he said something that I know I intuitively do. And he put a framework around it. Brendan is really great at creating a framework first. I'm really great at thinking through it, taking notes, sharing it, and then we create the framework around it, right? So when it comes to your story, when it comes to teaching or even creating a video, if you're gonna sell something, the story is the part where people connect with you. They understand where you came from. They understand the genius. They understand the epiphany. They understand where the knowledge came from. But this is the part. Sometimes when you say a story, people think you got to tell the whole story. And this is the differentiator. I want you to write this down. And again, this isn't the lesson on story today. This is just the preframe. Is you're really just telling a scene out of your life. Not the whole story. You're telling a scene, right? So before you tell the story, and I want you to write this down, because again, this is your coaches and Arvin, everybody's going to go deep on this with you. Before you tell your story, you're kind of setting it up, right? So think about if I was going to tell you a story of transformation. I'll make one up about what's going on with COVID right now. If I wanted to tell you a story where and I'm going to back up here in a minute. We got so many great, amazing success stories coming, and we're working on one right now as part of the deconstructing. I've asked you, but I'll share that with you again. But just think, if I told you a story, you know, and I started by saying this COVID thing has really changed the world. Like, I lost my job. I'm sitting home wondering what to do with myself. Now, I know you're probably thinking, it's like, I want to get in the digital economy, but how? I want to get in the information age, but where do I start? But then I did X. I got KBB. I got the knowledge. And I started on Facebook. Then I did this. Then I did that. And you have this breakthrough, right? That story of sharing the problem and sharing the questions they'd have in their head in advance leads you right into the story you could tell. I hope that made sense, right? So let's just talk about a little bit of the problem, seconds, less than a minute. Talk about some of the questions you asked yourself, and then you go right into the story. Now, I want you to think about this. Again, I don't know if that was the best example here. I'm live and I had so many notes here I want to share with you, but I want you to think of your story in three sections. The struggle, the search, and then the success. The struggle, the search, and then the success. Okay? So I'm gonna give you a little story, right? If I was gonna teach you, how to get your first, and this is, I'm just giving it in time and history. If this was 10 years ago, it'd be a different world. But I'm gonna teach you how to produce an infomercial that works, right? Let's just use that as an example. I might say, you know, I was sitting here trying to figure out how to market. I didn't know what to do. TV seemed too expensive, too busy. I thought to myself, that'll never work. Everybody told me that being on TV is not gonna work. But then I realized that they were wrong. I realized that if I just shared from my heart, if I just put on the camera, right? If I realized that even though I had cotton mouth and I was scared to death when they turned the camera on, what I realized in that moment was that I wasn't there to be an actor. I wasn't there to try to be an infomercial star. I was there to serve people at the highest level. And at that moment, I realized the cotton mouth went away. I took a big sip of water and I just talked to the camera like it was a friend who needed me. And in that transition, I learned when I was done filming, I learned that if I made friends with media buyers, if I just picked stations that were really inexpensive, anyway, if I went through those parts, right, that intrigue of the story, and I tell the story how I finally got on the air and I had it going on 22 different stations and I was impacting people all around the world. People were following me, buying my products, having results, sending in success stories. And all of a sudden I went from wishing I could have an infomercial to a $5 million business, a $50 million business, over $100 million generated in a year. And during that journey, during that struggle to get on TV, I searched for answers. I searched for how to buy media. I searched how to do online. I searched how to answer the telephone. I searched how to do it with no money down. I searched, and then I had the success. And during that, I learned X, Y, and Z. I learned these 5 topics, these 10 topics, these 7, 10 topics. I mean, I have a million of these stories. Now, the part I want to share with you today before we get into better training, right, or deep dive training with the team is, that's just a segment of my life. That's just a scene in my life. I could tell you a scene on how I started and wrote my first book. I could tell you a scene on how I found the love of my life. I could tell you a scene in my life, how I became a good dad. There was a moment when I just consciously decided and what I did. And I could tell you the story. I could tell you the struggle of stressing about not being a good dad. And then I could tell you the search of how I interviewed over 50 people about being a parent. I read 10 books on being a great parent. I observed great parents. I observed great kids. That was the search. And then the success, I have an 11, 13-year-old right now. I mean, they're my kids. I think they're the greatest kids ever. Well-rounded, mature, great kids. You want to know the 10 things I did to make great kids? The 10 things I did to have the love of my life? The 10 things I did to partner with Tony Robbins, the 10 things I did to be a multiple New York Times bestseller on how I decided on the book, how I wrote the book, and how I marketed the book. You don't need to know where I went to high school if you want to learn to write a New York Times bestselling book and learn how to market it. I could just tell you the story of how I almost deleted my first book, but I didn't. If I told you that story, which a lot of you have heard, it would intrigue you. And I would tell you the struggle I had, the search I had, and then the success I had. And during the struggle and the success, I found 10 things. And I want you to think about this. When you go to share, whether you're building a course, whether you're doing online, whether you're doing a Zoom call, you want to, if you're doing a week-long Zoom call, you want to pick 5 to 10 things that you could teach that come from your own struggle, search, success. Now, again, I don't have a fancy framework for this today. This just hit my heart so much yesterday of how we can break this down for you. Because if Tony Robbins needs these conversations, if I need these conversations to keep evolving how I teach, evolving how I share, then I better step up my game and give it to you guys so you have this process, right? So if you think about, and this is what we're gonna do today, if you think about the story, that's really just a scene, a moment in time that sets up the struggle you had, the search you did, and then the success, the struggle, the search, and the success. That will be the story that you extract. Oh my God, you'll see in yourself. Oh my God, I didn't even think about that, right? My wife, in her struggle to be the best hairstylist, found that if she hired really good assistants that were dying to work under her to learn her art, she would have people be able to get most of it done and she could do her art, right? That was part of the thing she learned during the search and the struggle, and that became part of her success. She learned one strategy for hair extensions that were like anything else, part of the journey, part of the search, part of the success. And all of them, boop, best assistants, boop, certain hair extensions, boop, like cater to people and let them know you truly care, build friends with them, go to fundraisers, give money away, give back, listen in the hair while she's doing hair. She's a great listener, but doesn't give back and doesn't do gossip, right? People come in and they respect that. It's refreshing. There are all the lists of things when I went through with her, when she said, I just have a good story. I don't really know how to teach. When I pulled those out and gave her 10 points, she's like, oh, I could teach on hiring assistants. Oh, I could teach on how to bond with high level clients. Oh, I could teach that hair extension model. Oh, I could teach on how to help people pick the right color so they don't look washed out. Oh, I could do that. I'm like, that's it. That's your teaching. But what happens sometimes is we get too broad. We think we have to teach on everything. Sometimes the simplest things are the best things. Listen, Michael Jordan's popular right now because they have the documentary that came out. His coach didn't teach him to go do the fancy three-point trick shot. His coach would have him shoot thousands of foul shots a week. He already knew that. Why was he doing it over? Sometimes it's who's in front of you is who you're going to learn from. If you think, well, I don't have 20 years experience. If you were on the challenge a couple days ago, Carrie, she doesn't have years of experience. She wrote one book, got it published, and now she's teaching other people how to do a book because everybody else wants to write one. They didn't. She did. And she was in front of them to be their teacher. So we have to get rid of all the misconceptions. Those of you already in it, you know this, but it's time to go to another level. Those of you afraid, this is what the next couple of weeks are going to be, is really anchoring in. And then the last part about that, the last part about everything I'm sharing is the story, right? The story is the struggle, the search, and the success. Extract what you learned out of that, and they become your 5 to 10 teaching points. Does that make sense? You guys all getting that? Or did I play that way too much? You get that? The last part that you're going to talk about today is the tool. Again, we're working in reverse because we really think as a team, we work on the tool. It'll really help you go back up the ladder to refine the story and the teach. The tool is this. It is the thing that will anchor you in. It is the thing that will start the momentum. It is the action steps that make it real. Because think about it. Somebody tells you a compelling story. Say you're dying to be in the perfect relationship or fix the relationship you're in. And someone says, you know, I know what it's like to try to find relationships in today's world. I get it. Do you go online? Where do you meet people? Is it church? I don't want to meet people at a bar, but online's kind of weird. I'm too old for being online to meet the right person. I get that. I thought all those things. But let me tell you, I did this one thing. And I shared this, and I exposed my heart, and I played vulnerable. I didn't play games. I didn't have to do this, that, and the other thing. I wasn't on an app where you swipe left or swipe right. And almost all of a sudden, I found my true heart. I found my other half. I didn't even know love existed like this. And now I have someone who looks at me every day with love, and I want to be a better version of myself. And I find myself wanting to be a better man on a regular basis. And you tell the story and said, along this journey, oh my God, I learned these 10 things that really made a relationship real. Not just sexual, not just friendship, not just respect, all of it, where we all grow. If you get excited about those things, whatever the story is, the only way it becomes real, if there's an action step after this. If I'm on stage, Tony's on stage, Brendon Burchard's on stage, Rachel Hollis, Jenna Kutcher's on stage. When you do something and you inspire with your story and then you teach something, why do you think at a live event we'll say, get in groups of five and share the breakthrough you just had? That's a tool to me because it's an action step, right? Share, like you teach and go, what are the three steps you could take right now? If you're at an event for fixing your relationship. So you tell the inspirational story, you bring your husband out and you hug and kiss and you go, here's the 10 things, write them down. We're gonna spend the next hour. Boop, boop, boop. Here's the 10 things for the best relationship. Okay, now, what you learned today, what are the three things you learned that you could do in the next 72 hours to start the better relationship? Okay, get in groups of five and share it around the circle. That's a tool because you're saying it to the world. You're starting the momentum. I'm going to stop acting this way. I'm going to look internally. I'm going to make a list of my ideal other half. Whatever that is, that starts the momentum. Why do you think after KBB, our training's here, we ask you to do homework because it anchors it in. Why during the challenge I'm doing, the start over challenge, every night I'm challenging people, right? Because nothing becomes real until action starts. We all agree on that? How many, let me just see here. How many of you have written a book or read a book, watched a video or went to an event and were like, I am making this a part of my life, all fired up, but then nothing happened, right? It's because we didn't take immediate action. And that's one of the parts that's missing in so many people's trainings. They get you fired up with the story. They teach you and go, now go home and do it. A lot of times you go home and all of a sudden there's all the things. Well, we're all home. We don't have to go far, right? But there's all these other things in your life that gobble you up. And that's why you want to, in your own life, with learning from us, it's why we beg you and push you and prod you to and give away prizes and ethical bribes to do the thing. Go do it. Even if you feel like I've done this before, do it, because that builds the muscle of inspired, inspiration, tactics and skills, and go take action. We know, I've been saying this forever. My first book, Totally Fulfilled, I wrote, knowledge alone doesn't equal success. Knowledge plus action equals results, right? So a tool, what you're going to go deeper on today could be the tools we gave you in KBB. They're our favorite tools. Some we created, some are mine personally. As you know, the seven levels deep has been something that transformed my life. I learned that from a gentleman named Joe Stump. That's been a part of my DNA for over a decade. But the success loop, that got me out of a crazy time when I was exiting a marriage with my kids and we were trying to figure all that out. It was scary because I had gone through divorce. That tool saved my life. Like the one thing tool, the one thing that solves exponential problems. Oh my God, that tool. All those tools are, and I see so many already use it. You can use all of those tools. That's why they're there. And they could be manipulated no matter what niche you're in. You could use our tools. But we also want to show you that a tool is something you can create based around what your story is, what you teach, and how you want to anchor it in. Again, I wrote down some examples. It could be an exercise. It could be getting groups, right? The cool part on, they're not going to do it today, but next week, we're going to get you in groups of 5 or 10. We're going to put you in groups of 5 and 10, and we're going to make you have you do the homework and go around and bond with those five people, sharing the homework, sharing part of your story, sharing one or two of the pieces that you're going to teach, and get feedback from your little group. That's a tool to us because that gets you over the fear of like, I don't know if this is what I'm going to teach. You're going to tell a group and they're going to be honest with you and say, that's badass or not so clear with me, right? And we're going to help guide all these. It's taking action, taking a challenge. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to fine tune what it is that you already teach, or we're going to help you craft this so we can get your confidence on a whole nother level. Arvin, are you getting ready here, brother?
Ready.
All right. Are you going to bring the fire today, or are you going to put him to
sleep?
I'm
thinking about it.
You're thinking about it. Oh my God. You don't understand. The coaches, Arvin and the coaches were in the other room cheer, like they do this ritual. They're on right now. They do this ritual of getting fired up. They were so loud. They're like, did you hear us? I'm like, I heard you when I left my house. They are so fired up to be with you today. They're so fired up to help you craft this next evolution of your story teach tool. Again, today is about thinking through. I wanted to set the framework for you of thinking through what your story might be. If you haven't crafted it ideally yet, or if it already is, how can you condense it to a scene? The last thing I want to say is you really got to remember it's the struggle, the search, and the success. I've seen people do stories where you talk too much about the struggle, right? Did you guys ever see a story where someone tells you the struggle and then they're done and you're like, you're just going to freaking leave me here? Like, dude, you brought me down. Bring me back up, right? And sometimes people talk about the search. Like, you know, things weren't so good, but I went on and I did, but they don't give you the crescendo. You want to leave on an up note, right? You want to tell the struggle. This was brutal trying to make this work. But then I found KBB. I started Facebook marketing, or I got a following on Instagram. I started telling friends or family. I did what Rachel Miller taught, and I got 100 crazy followers. I did my first event. And during this process, I learned. And you want to bring them up and leave them at the end, right? So remember, it's always the struggle, the search, the success, and then the teach, and then the tool. Okay, in a moment here, I'm going to bring out Arvin. I want to share a couple other cool things we're working on. Again, as this is an evolving process for us to serve you, and we're completely dedicated. I mean, Teresa Arvin said, this is a Herculean task that we absolutely love. Just think about it from our side. We're got so many moving parts, and our whole focus is your end result. So there's a couple things we're adding over the next month, and we're working on it. One is, I asked in the Facebook group and had overwhelming feedback, is we are going to choose, we already chose somebody. Arvin, if you want to share a little bit later about her, you can. But Arvin hit me up with a girl that's in here. I don't want to kill the surprise. I'll let him share, who's absolutely crushed it with her first event during COVID. So proud of her. But what we're going to do on probably a monthly basis or maybe biweekly, is we're going to deconstruct that success. Not just have somebody come in and be like, yay, I did my first event. I made money. You guys can do it too. That's awesome to hear. But what wouldn't it be better to say, how'd you overcome the fear? What was your headline? What did your page look like? How much did you charge? How'd you get them to pay you $2,500 each? What did you say when you were there? So each month we're going to deconstruct somebody's success and deliver it to you guys. You guys like that? By show of hands? Awesome. And then and we're working on this. Give us a little time. We are going to create a hotline for you guys. Meaning you get stuck on something. You have a question like, damn, I got everything Arvin said, but I just don't understand that one thing. Give us a little time. We're staffing up. We're training. We're going to give you a hotline with time. You guys liking this? Yuzen, I see you like it. Did I pronounce your name right? We're going to create a hotline where you'll get a certain amount of time each month. You're like, I just got that burning question. I couldn't get it answered in the Facebook group. And like I said, try to get it answered in the Facebook group. If not, you call, you make an appointment, and you'll be on one of our high performance coaches that are absolutely amazing. So that's the kind of stuff we're working on to deliver all the capabilities you need, all the direction, the motivation, the inspiration. But a lot of it's going to rely back on you. Is, do you want to be the quitter? Or do you want to be the person that carries us across the finish line to make sure you make this real? This is not a pie in the sky industry. This is not an industry to get rich overnight for doing nothing. This is one of the fastest growing industries in the world, an industry where you can truly make impact, truly change people's lives, and truly create next level success for yourself. We watch it all the time, and you're going to start watching in this group. Wait till you see who we're going to share. And I don't want Arvin to share too much, but when we deconstruct these on a monthly basis, these are students in this group. Students that are already having success, it's a little slip there, already having success from when we first started 4 weeks ago, okay? So I'm so happy you guys are here. I'm so happy you're here this morning, today, I should say. It's a long day. I got a lot of trainings going on today, but I appreciate you all. Here's what I want to do. Arvin, you ready, brother? Well, all right. I want to play a quick little reel that you've probably seen before of students that are just really living into being a knowledge broker. I think it's a minute long. and we'll get Arvin. Maybe I can get him pumped up to fire it up. When we come back, can we give Arvin a huge round of applause? This guy is obsessed with your success. So Mike, play that and then Arvin will be here. Appreciate you all. Let's do this.
Not too long ago, I was wondering what was my next step.
I was searching for something new because I wasn't fulfilled in my current job.
Before KBB, I really didn't think that I could take nearly 2 decades of experience and be able to take that and integrate that and teach it to people at the same time, have a business, grow a business.
And I had all this knowledge that I felt blessed with and I was gifted with. But I didn't know how to get it out there.
Everybody has a reason to be on the planet, some value to give, and sometimes we just have a hard time understanding what that is. And KBB will help you identify that.
A simple step-by-step process on how to extract the skill that I already had and showed me how to attract, market, and share it with people who already.
It is pulling all the information that I've wanted to share for years out of my brain and putting it into a format that I can use.
After I found KBB, I didn't just find my drive, I found purpose.
I now know and believe in myself enough to go out there and be a positive voice for change and to have my impact on the world.
The clarity and the confidence that has arisen from this is just, it's unlike anything I've ever experienced.
I wish I had this when I started.
KBB was really there as the catalyst to get me out from behind my computer, really get out there and go bigger, go global.
It's been less than 2 months. I've completed their course. I've launched my business. I'm having my first workshop next weekend.
Within 30 minutes after getting into the program and through the course, I'd set up my first training program, and it was so easy.
I'm already hearing back from my community of just the breakthroughs that they're having as a result of it.
I have caused a huge amount of impact, and it's affected other people around me, and there's no better feeling.
Suddenly I had the foundation to move forward with my life, something I'd always wanted.
The thing that you're looking for, it's here.
We are living in an information age. Self-education will soon be the new norm.
All right, all right. You guys ready? Let's go. Let's get those hands in the air. Yes, 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 yes. Let's get this vibe high, baby. It's training time. You guys excited for today? Yeah? Get both hands up in the air. Mary, you just jumped out of your seat. I love it. Yes, you're getting me excited. Yes. Oh, man, guys, this is like my favorite part of the week, to spend all day serving this whole Accelerator Club. We get to do 3 of these trainings on Wednesday, and all 3 times I get just as hyped for all 3 of the trainings. It's so much fun to sit here and serve you guys. It's just like seeing you guys show up in the way that you do is our fuel. That's what gives us our energy to show up at our best for you guys. So it's a reciprocal effect that's happening here, man. I just love it. I love how powerfully you guys show up. We're in the Facebook group every day of the week, watching you guys post, like sharing the successes. We're with you with the frustrations and the overwhelms that are part of this process. And I want to just speak to that briefly. Raise your hand right now if you're still experiencing a little bit of overwhelm trying to define your niche, trying to define your ideal client, to really specify the problem that you solve, right? So I know like there's some of you guys that have that real dialed in, and that's awesome. And there's others that are still kind of trying to figure out what that target is. And if you guys have been following the Start Over Challenge, Dean has been bringing in some phenomenal guests there to share perspective. And last Friday, he brought in the Boss Babes. And their superpower is helping people to identify ideal client and narrow their niche. And they shared this brilliant perspective, because this was an obstacle that they had to overcome in their own business as they were growing it, was that they had this idea that they didn't realize at the time that their ideal client was going to be a constantly moving target, right? Because as they grew and as they learned and as they expanded, so did the people that they served, and so did the problems that they were solving, right? That was there because they were constantly growing. So it was this moving target that they were constantly chasing, and they were waiting for that target to just stand still for a moment so they could hit it in the bullseye and just have that sense of certainty, right? Like that, yes, this is exactly who I serve. This is exactly the problem I solve. This is exactly how I solve it. And they were chasing this feeling that was never going to show up for them, but they were allowing themselves to stay stuck until that feeling showed up. And once they made that pivot, it was like, you know what? maybe that absolute perfection is not going to show up for us. And that's okay, because we know enough to get this thing going. And as we get it going and to continue to take steps in the right direction, we get more clear on some of the things that we're lacking a little bit of clarity on. And it just, that perspective just hit home for me because of what so many of you guys are experiencing right now, of still trying to dial in that clarity that you're pursuing and giving yourself, and I'm gonna invite you here in this moment to give yourself a little bit of grace and to understand that you are right where you're supposed to be. And what you're feeling at this stage is exactly what you're supposed to be feeling. You guys are in creation mode. You're creating an experience out of thin air. And it can be so many different things. And this is the whole part of these weekly trainings, is to continue to kind of brain dump things out and extract the specific details that are going to curate this experience that is going to serve people powerfully. And it's not just going to serve the people in the room powerfully, it's going to serve you powerfully as well. So be in the journey here, right? If you're feeling a little stressed, a little overwhelmed, if it's just like, it's just not clicking right? It just doesn't seem to be hitting right where I want it to. Understand that, hey, that's most likely how it's supposed to feel right now in this moment. But that doesn't stop us from doing the next step. We take what we have right now and we continue moving forward with it, allowing it to evolve with us as we continue moving forward on this journey. So raise your hand if you're committed to keep taking steps forward, no matter how you're feeling, no matter how much stress, overwhelm, anxiety, anything shows up, we're going to continue taking steps. Yes. So the steps that we're going to take today is putting together your tools. And I love this training because it doesn't necessarily have the same complexity as niche and superpower can have, because a tool is pretty well defined. There's a specific way you're going to teach somebody how to do something. So there's not a lot of gray area there. Where we're going to have a little bit of complexity and we're going to find some simplicity in this instruction is defining what that step-by-step process is, so that when we teach it to people, they know exactly what to do. And so I just want to give you guys an example of how you can construct the tools for the Story Teach Tool method that we're going to put together for you. And this is going to be the things that you teach in your mastermind experience. And like Dean was saying earlier, a tool is something that creates an action. There's an actionable step as part of this process. And it can be as simple as journaling an answer, or doing a group share, or picking up the phone and calling somebody, or hopping on a Facebook Live and rehearsing video. Like, it could, as long as there's an actionable step that's part of it, there's a tool that gets them to implement that action. So the trainings that we've been doing, I've been using an example of a mastermind that I would create based on pain points out there and my personal expertise. And so if I were to create a mastermind, it would be to teach online entrepreneurs how to show up confidently on video so they could deliver a powerful message that creates an engaged audience. That would be the experience that I would create. So if I was going to do that, what would be the tools that I would need to teach people to create that result? And these are the tools that I would teach people as part of that experience. Number one is I would use the RIFs tool from KBB, because we're talking about crafting personal stories. And so let's identify what are the five things that you can just riff on. Now, RIF is a tool. So how do I use RIF? Well, number one, step one is going to be list out the five things that you can riff on. Step two is going to be to walk around and record yourself speaking that RIF, telling that story. Step three, download the transcript and upload it to Rev.com. I'm sorry, the file, and send it to Rev.com. And then they will email you the transcript of everything that you just said in that recording. And then step four will be to put it into a story framework. And that would be my second tool. Let's talk about story framework. And similar to what Dean was just sharing with the conversation he had with Brendan, which is, let's put this together in a struggle, search, success. So we'll look at that story. And step one is identify the struggle. Step two is identify the search for the solution. And then step three is, let's define what the success was, the result on the other side. And that's how we would plug that into that tool. And then we would shift into, okay, well, we're talking about how to show up confidently and create a powerful presence on video. Well, one of the things that we need to do in order to do that is to change our state. In order to change our state, we have to know how to do incantations. So that would be the next tool that I would teach people, is how do you create and implement an incantation? And an incantation is just a belief that you want to reinforce into your mind or a thought that you want to reinforce into your mind until it becomes a belief. So step one is, what is the thought that I want to reinforce until it becomes a belief? And if I was talking about speaking, that could be something like, I am a powerful speaker. I am a powerful speaker. Maybe that's a belief that you want to have within yourself. So that's step one, identify the belief. Step two is, what is the emotion that you want that belief to create inside of you? And for a statement like, I am a powerful speaker, that's going to be an emotion of confidence, right? So identify the emotion. Step three, what is the physiology that reflects that emotion? Because whatever emotional state you're in is going to have a physiology that reflects that. So confidence is chest out, shoulders back, chin up, eyes forward, audible tone, right? That's confidence. And then step four would be the rehearse. And if I'm running a live or even virtual event, this is me as a facilitator watching people rehearse their incantations to make sure they're stepping into it with the certainty that's required in order to enforce that into the mind as a new belief. So an incantation, a belief enforced by emotion with intention. So that's the difference between saying, I'm a powerful speaker, I'm a powerful speaker, versus I'm a powerful speaker, I'm a powerful speaker. There's a difference there. So as a facilitator, I can guide somebody to that outcome using that tool. And now it's, all right, how do I make sure I'm in the right state so I can use that incantation? And then I would teach the air method, which I've taught all of you guys multiple times in the trainings that we've done already. Three-step process. Become aware of the thought that's self-defeating. Interrupt that thought by changing the pattern, moving your physiology. And the R, replace it with the belief that you want to think instead, which would be the incantation. And now they would plug in that incantation and use it in the air method. And then step five would be something specific to speaking, which is kind of just some more extreme state work, which I call dramatic role play. So it would take into animal instincts, it would take into extreme emotional outbursts, and it would go into power chants. And those are different things that I would teach people as part of being a speaker. And then the last thing would be priming for performance. Step one, what state do I need to be in? Again, identifying the message that I'm going to be speaking with this specific story. How do I want my audience to feel? Because I need to be in that state when I tell that story. Step two, I would teach people how to do facial warm-ups, because a lot of your expression, especially if you're on video, is going to be through your face. So if your face is really tight and you haven't warmed it up and you're just kind of talking and your face looks emotionless while you're trying to tell a story, it doesn't come across as well, right? You got to have some facial expression. So you got to warm your face up. And then there's vocal warm-ups to get your vocal range expanded so that you could deliver the tonality of the message and story and what you're trying to express. And then the final step would be, what is the trigger or the anchor that you use in order to shift yourself into state right before you go onto camera? And everybody would have their own unique trigger for that. And that would be the final step. So now I have six tools that I would use: riffs, story framework, incantations, air method, dramatic role play, and priming for performance. And each one of those tools has a step-by-step process that walks them through to complete the little solution that that tool is going to create when they implement it. You guys follow along so far? All right, so we're gonna break out into breakout rooms. And I'm gonna give you guys all another opportunity to raise your hand and say you're following along so far, because like three people raised their hand. So we're gonna try that again in just 1 second. When we're going to the breakout rooms, we're gonna put you on hot seats. And this is what we're gonna do. A, make sure your homework's turned in, because we're reading your homework as part of this exercise. B, make sure your camera's turned on, because if your camera's not turned on, we can't put you on the hot seat. And then C, be coachable, right? So we're on that hot seat. We're going to help you define one of the tools that you're going to be using. And when you're creating a tool, look at it from this perspective. If you're going to explain to a five-year-old how to implement this tool, do you have enough steps put in play that all flow into each other that this five-year-old could follow the flow of your tool? And if not, then that's what we'll hot seat around to figure out what those steps are. Because if you're guiding somebody through a process, and you're missing steps that they don't understand, those are blocks, right? That's what gets people to fall off. That's what gets people to quit. That's when the thoughts of like, I can't do this, right? Because we left out a step that's maybe just easy for us that we forgot that some people don't understand how to do yet. That curse of knowledge, right? That sometimes that we know things so well, we forget how challenging it is for people to learn it for the first time. So we need to make sure that we're walking through step by step in order to do that process. You guys ready to get into this hot seats? Give me two hands up in the air if you guys ready to go in these hot seats. Yes. Bobby Joyce, I see you, brother. Hands up in the air. Esperanza, you don't want a hot seat? You don't want a hot seat, Esperanza? You don't want to put your hands up? Yes. Awesome. Okay, guys, we're going to break out of these coaches' rooms. And I feel like when we do this, there's always something we do. Isn't there something that we do before we go into breakout rooms? You guys remember what it was? Cindy, you remember? Oh, that's right. We stand up. We dance. We put our arms up in the air. We get ourselves into a peak state. Get up out of those chairs, guys. Come on. Get up out of those chairs. Every single one of you. I can see all your faces. Don't make me call you out by name. Get up out of that chair and move that body. Mike, give us some music. Take us to a high five. It's breakout time. Let's go, baby. Yes. Yes. Rosemary, I dig it. Yes, yes. Let's go. You gonna sit down? Then you come into my room. You're gonna be sitting down already? Welcome. Yes. Let's go. Woo. Guys, this stuff is so exciting. So exciting. I love it. I love it. You guys ready to have a good time? Yeah? Put your hands up in the air. You ready to have a good time? You guys ready to have a good time with me? Yes! Susan Jane, I believe you. So let's talk real quick about how the coaching hot seat works. And then we're going to start pulling some people on here. We're going to start figuring out some tools. So coaching hot seat, guys, I'm going to pull you onto the seat. And the focal point here is to identify a specific tool. And we're going to outline what that step-by-step process is going to be. If you're not on the hot seat, find yourself in the questions that are being asked to help you construct your tools. Now, when you're on the hot seat, my responsibility is to keep you focused on the question that we're asking to create clarity around that specific thing. What your mind is going to want to do is to tell stories or go off in a different direction or over-explain things, right? And I'm going to bring you right back to the focal point. What is step one? Great. What is step two? Well, let me tell you how I use step two. Doesn't matter how you use it right now. We just need to know what it is. Great. What's step three? So I'm going to kind of just force your mind to make some clear decisions here so that we can outline this tool and then it's ready to use. So you guys ready to play full out? You guys ready to be coached here? Yeah? Karen, you don't want to do it? There's always one person that's distracted, right? There's always one. I get you every time. All right. So I like to celebrate the courageous. So who would like to go first? Ooh, okay, all right. I think, Namali, I think you raised your hand first, but I'm going to celebrate you second because Lindy didn't even move. So since Lindy did not want to be courageous, we're just going to put her on the hot seat first and force her to be courageous. So unmute your Zoom, Lindy, and I'm going to pull up your homework, and we're going to break this thing down. Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
There's no sitting in the sidelines in my room. No way.
You caught me.
All right, let me find your homework here. Do I have permission to read this?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Let's do it.
All right. So the problem you solved, how to get their first 100 followers on LinkedIn, and because they don't know where to start or think they don't have the tools to start marketing on LinkedIn. Okay, I like this. This is specific. All right. Mm-hmm. So I'm in your mastermind. I'm like, oh man, I'm just so ready to build my online presence on LinkedIn. I'm ready to go all in, Lindy. What's the first step?
So the first step would be to review your profile and make sure only relevant information is on there and we get rid of bad stuff.
Okay, great. So tool number one is profile that sells, right? Profile that connects, profile that engages, however you want to call it.
Profile audit, I guess.
Profile audit. All right, so you're looking at my profile. Step one is what?
Past jobs.
So we're going right into previous employment. We're not even going to touch like name, title, cover photo, none of that stuff yet. We're going right to past employment?
No, we want to talk about past employment. We want to look at the – oh, man, this is hard on the spot.
Yeah. So here's the thing, like you guys know this stuff. And if you were put into the room, like you would easily be able to like walk people through what it is you want to do. But now it's like requiring a different way of thinking about it. So we are going to create a framework, right? And this is what we're doing. We're creating your framework. And then the framework is just the process. And you guys, you know, plug in the creativity in that framework as part of your experience.
Right.
But this will, once we get it out, create simplicity, because you'll be able to look at it and be like, oh, this is exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Okay. So step one, I pull up my profile and you take me to past employment. Number one.
Yes. Number one. Then we're going to look at your description of your job description or your title.
Okay.
Then we're going to look at your profile picture.
Oh, pause. Hold on. I'm a 5-year-old. This is my first time on LinkedIn. I'm like, I didn't even know this platform existed. And I'm looking at it, and you just pulled me up to previous employment, and you're like, all right, well, there it is. Okay. Okay, now we're going to move on to profile? Profile pic? What are we doing specifically with previous employment?
So we're editing, and we're sifting, and we're putting relevant information or keywords, kind of glorifying your resume, I guess.
Okay. All right. So how do I edit it? How do I know what words to use and what words not to use? How do I know what a good description is and what's a bad description?
So we'll have to teach that.
Yeah. So like take notes as we're going through this, Lindy. So it's like, all right, this is stuff I'm going to have to define, right? Yeah. Because I want to be able to, when I am going into my teach part, story teach tool, this is the teaching part of it. And then that can be an example, right? Like, this is what a good profile looks like. This is what a bad description looks like. And then you're going to teach them how to do it. And maybe part of your experience is kind of working with them on that verbiage to make sure you fine tune it.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So break down what the step-by-step process is to revise previous employment. Give me a process to identify specific keywords that are going to be relevant to the engagement I'm trying to create. Like, you don't have to give them to me right now, but I'm just saying as your write-up, right? Like, let's say you're creating a worksheet or something for this. This is what you'd want to have included with it. So now I leave employment. I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that all my previous jobs were so incredibly amazing. It didn't feel that way when I was there, but now that I read this description, I was like, wow, what an experience I had. What's my next step?
Let me move on to the profile. Or the job, or your title that goes under your description.
Okay.
It's taking.
What are the three steps to writing a powerful title for LinkedIn?
So pulling up your past experience and highlighting those things that you're powerful at, but the soft skills, not necessarily the checklist items of what you've done, but your soft skills of what make you successful, and that.
So give me an example of one or the other. Quickly, you're on the spot, Lindy. Everybody's watching. No pressure. Come on, perform.
So like,
it's called the hot seat for a reason, people. The seat is hot.
I guess I'm just gonna use my husband as an example, but he could be like, I work IT in the Navy.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty lame, pretty boring. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
But you could turn it into, he is a bureaucracy slayer that breaks barriers in IT world.
Yeah. Okay. That's amazing. Bureaucracy slayer. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's emotion behind that word, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So now I've did my work history. I've given myself a new title. What would be one more step that we would do in the profile?
The profile picture.
Profile picture. Okay. Yep. So that would be like
examples of professional looking ones versus you don't want to look like you're out at the beach on LinkedIn.
Right. I love it. So that would just be like first phase of your experience. But there's multiple, you have the main tool, which is like crafting the profile page, and then the mini tools in which you, how you address each section of that to make sure that it's the page that's going to create the engagement.
Right.
I dig it. How'd that hot seat feel? You good? I didn't burn you, did I?
Oh, I Oh, I like it. I hate it, but I like it.
You feel alive, don't you?
I do. What is happening?
Awesome. Thanks, Lindy. And Namali? Am I saying it right?
Tony's Resort in Fiji.
Say it again.
Tony's Resort in Fiji is called
Namali? Really?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Yes. Have you been there?
Not yet, no.
Me either. Not yet. There's key words. I'm coming. It's happening at some point. I just don't know when.
Yes.
All right. Well, you shot that hand up courageously. So tell me. Well, let me pull up your homework and then we'll figure out what your tool will be. May I read it?
Absolutely.
Finding your ideal life partner online and creating your happily ever after. They are having challenges with self-love and personal relationships. Ooh, I like it. I like it. Finding your ideal partner online. So I'm at part of your mastermind experience. And tell me a specific pain point that you're going to address in this experience in which we can create a tool to help them solve.
To me, that stood out while you were teaching amazing Lindy, was self-love.
Okay, so self-love. So I lack self-love. I don't love myself. I'm aware of this. It's hurting me. It's holding me back. And I want to begin a practice that's going to allow me to build that love that I have for myself. How do I do that? What's step one?
Step one would be starting with asking your family and friends what they love about okay. you.
So and step one, identify three family members and reach out to them and have them identify five things that they love about you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Step two would be figure out having a habit or creating a habit of a morning routine of waking up in the morning and what you can appreciate about yourself.
Okay. So that to me would be a separate tool.
Okay.
Like creating a morning routine is a whole nother animal.
Okay.
So that would just kind of fall under the umbrella of how to improve self-love. So one could be like getting and receiving feedback from loved ones that allow you to see the love that other people have for you. That could be a tool, which was what you're kind of describing. Morning routine would be something a little bit separate.
Okay, got you.
So let's focus in a little bit more on the first one that you said. So step one is I reach out and I have these family members give me some statements about what they love about me. What do I do with those statements? What would be step two of that process?
Step two would be based on the energy that you received by connecting with what your family members said, what do you feel about yourself?
So step two would be, all right, now as you read these lines and you read these statements that people say about you, I want you to write down how you feel when you read this. Is that step two?
Yes.
Okay. What's step three? I read it and I'm like, I'm reading it. I don't believe any of this. I don't believe this about myself. I know they're saying this, but it's not true. They don't know the real me. If they knew the real me, they wouldn't be saying these things.
Step three, it just came to my mind, would be if you imagined your 3-year-old self in front of you, what would you tell her or him about what you think about that person?
Okay. So step three would be taking a visualization. You'll walk them through a visualization, and this could be a tool, right? This yes. visualization is a teaching tool. So the teaching part is kind of the visualization. The tool afterward would be the journaling that's created from the visualization which you just had. So you walk them through this visualization, you connect them to this 3-year-old version of themselves, you have a conversation, and you get those loving statements that are said in that visualization interaction. You extract what would be said in that kind of experience, and you write down these loving statements, these self-love statements. What do I do with those self-love statements? Now I have them. Now it's like, oh, wow, like I would love to believe these about myself, but none of this is true.
Step four would be going in front of the mirror and mm-hmm. putting a hand on your heart and looking deep into your eyes mm-hmm. and repeating what you told to your three-year-old self, to yourself.
I love it. I love it. Boom. Now we have a specific action that we can go out there and apply. And more importantly, that's a habit. That's something that can be done on a continuous basis every single day, multiple times a day, as many times as it's needed until that new belief, that new self-love starts to grow inside of them.
Yes.
Right.
And
so it's a rough draft kind of tool. That's it. That's the tool. Boom. Right?
Yeah.
You might want to like move that around a little bit. Like in reality, you may not even have to ask the family members, especially if you're in an experience and you're curating a mastermind. So you're sitting here, you have these people in the room. You don't really want them leaving and making phone calls to ask these questions, right? Like this could be homework if they wanted to do it on their own. But what you can do in that experience is you start with the visualization and you connect them with that old version of themselves. And then you identify what those belief statements would be. And then you would go into the reinforcement of that. You know, everybody goes around the room and they say those statements out loud. And then you teach them how to do that as on a habit building basis so that they can go home and implement it.
So what you said was visualize and then the statements, write it down, and then share it out loud with the other members.
Okay. Correct. Yeah. And that's a form of an incantation, right?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. See? Stuff's easy.
Awesome.
It's easy, guys. Jason, I'm going to come to you, brother. Cause you're right next to me on my Zoom window. You're my next door neighbor right here. Oh wait, you're over here.
All right, I'm somewhere. Okay, hi.
Welcome. Let me pull up your homework here real quick.
All right.
And the permission to read it.
100%.
Great. How to attract and close long-term assisted living clients, maintain an active waiting list so beds stay full and never have to compete on price again. The specific area, traditional face-to-face networking and print advertisement aren't leading to enough community tours. Plus, they don't have enough time to focus on effective, consistent marketing and sales because of daily operations grind. Bottleneck of their business, reaching its potential. So you're speaking to a very specific target here.
Definitely so. Yeah.
Yep. It's great. So I'll have them. You have a mastermind experience.
Yes. Well, I'm working on it. I'm creating it. Absolutely.
We're going to take Namali's exercise and visualize here for a moment, right? You're standing in front of this room and you're facilitating this experience. You're helping them solve this problem. This is the main problem that the whole experience is going to solve, but we're going to solve little micro problems along the way. Specific pain points that have created this overall pain point. So what's one of the pain points inside of this infrastructure that you would create a tool around to help them solve?
This is a good one that works, I think, both for marketing and sales. Being able to tell a story is a really big idea. So the hook story offer framework that we're all learning in this group obviously applies to that group as well. To do a sales tour, sales discussion, you need to really engage with people's emotions. Okay. You need to find out what their pain points are, and then you need to figure out what that you actually do, things that you do in the company. Okay, so the first thing that I would do, I'd actually work on the offer first.
Okay.
I'd find out what it is. Number one, brainstorm what you do well. What does the company do? What do you do well? And what are some of your unfair advantages? How do you stand out from your competition?
Okay.
Then I would take, say you came up with 20 different things. I would take
Tell me in that tool, right? Like, do you want me to just brain dump all this out? Or do you want me to identify, like, what is the one thing that makes you stand out from everybody else? Or do you want me to write out 10 things that make me stand out from everybody else? Like, tell me specifically what to do.
Okay. Well, I actually want you to write down, we'll say 10 different things. Okay. This is just to get your mind moving.
Yeah.
All right. Then we're going to go through that list and we're going to pick, we'll say the number one piece and then you're going to go down a list and you're going to come up with five items.
Okay.
And those five are going to be your offer.
Okay.
The next step to building this offer is you want to assign some sort of value to that offer. Okay. What do you personally think this is valued out in the market? How do you think your customers are going to perceive this? Coming up with that value also helps you build confidence that what you are selling is worth the price that you're going to be charging.
Okay.
So it's step one,
I brainstorm 10 ideas. Step two, I pick the top five. Step three, I make an offer based on those top five. Step four, I put a value next to each one of those items so that I can get a full understanding of the value I'm actually offering and help it build my confidence along the way, have a little bit more certainty in the value that I'm presenting. What's the next step?
The next step would be, I'm trying to think, I could definitely teach the topic of closing, the idea of trial closes while you're having a conversation with somebody. Uh-huh. So this idea of getting people saying statements or questions so people
actually. You had me itemize all the items and what the value of each of them are. Well, what's the offer? What's the price?
Okay. Each person that I'm teaching might have a different price for what they're doing. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they have to define that, right? If I have five items and they're all valued at like $1,000 each, this is $5,000 in value.
Yeah.
How do I actually define the number of?
How do I find the number? That's a really good idea. Okay, fine. This is good.
It's just like, pay what you think it's worth. Like, I think it's worth $5,000, but whatever you guys want to pay is fine with me. Just pay me something.
Okay. Certainly, it's important to know in your market, and since assisted living is really highly dependent on each city that you're in, there's a step in here that we've got to go research what all of the other competition is actually charging.
Sure. You want to know what the market's bearing to an extent.
Yeah. You want to know what the market's bearing.
Yep.
Wow. How do I even come up with a price for it? Because this is a business I run. Value. That is a rough question, Arvin.
Welcome to the hot seat, brother.
Hiya!
It's way more fun on this side, by the way, guys.
I'm sure. I put on fire retardant pants and it's still not helping.
Pricing is like we can create that exercise as we go along, right? If you don't have it fully defined, pricing's it's not always like can be something that's not a step-by-step process. A lot of times when you're creating a value, and this will go for all of you guys in your mastermind, when we go through the process of pricing, which we're going to walk you guys through that, like, yeah, you want to look at what your market's bearing and understand what that umbrella is that you want to stay under as you start to grow. But it's also a number of like, what can you energetically stand in and sell? Like if it's worth $5,000 all day long, but you lack the belief that it is, nobody's going to buy it from you at $5,000. Doesn't matter what it's worth if you don't believe what it's worth. So that also plays a factor. Like, what do you believe this is the value of this is? And let's start with that number. And then we move forward from there.
Then I would say as far as going that exercise of going through the 10 ideas that you've come up with and trying to get it down to five or less, pick the ones that you obviously believe in the most. And so for me, a good example is we have chefs on site who are well-trained in producing foods for really high level of health.
I'm going to stop you there, Jason, because we don't need the examples, right? We're just going to put
together the examples.
Yeah, okay. We're going to put together the tool. See how he allowed me to politely interrupt him there and pull him back into the conversation?
I'm trying. Okay. The ones that I resonate the most with are the ones that I personally am communicating with and building a rapport with my potential prospects, my potential clients.
Yeah. So your first tool is drafting the offer, right? Which is really what you just did. And you take them down to that price point and then boom, now I have that offer. Second step is, I mean, Hook Story Close is three tools in itself.
That's true.
We're gonna break down Hook Story Close for you guys here in the next phase. And we're going to focus on each element for each training because that's so important as part of your process. Like,
So basically, we just did the offer tool then. Okay.
Yep. That would be the offer tool. hook tool, the bridge tool. How do you bridge from the story into the offer in a way that feels authentic to you? Yeah, each of those are specific tools. So we'll put this all together. But do you get a kind of an idea how the thought process goes on step by step on how we draft this? Like there's nothing that we can just leave up to generalization, right?
It's like writing software. I mean, you gotta tell it every
right now,
every single
real,
little detail.
It's real logical. Yep. Awesome. Thanks, Jason.
All right. Thanks, Arvin.
All right, raise your hand if you have not been on a hot seat yet. All right, Mary, you got two hands up in the air, mama. Yep. Marie.
I'm scared, okay? But I'm going to do it anyway.
I think that's why I called on you. I could smell your fear. I was like, oh, this one's terrifying.
You can smell the
fear. Let's get her on the
courage,
hot seat.
Courage. Okay, so you should know that I've changed my niche, but this is good anyway. I'm willing to do this, okay?
I appreciate you being willing to play full out with me.
No, but only so that it doesn't make things, I don't want to waste anything. So this tool actually will work with my new niche.
Did you turn in your homework for week 3?
Of course I did.
Let me see it.
I just couldn't figure out how to put the silly sticker on my, in the feed. I finally did though. Since you're quiet, I might as well just blab. Gotcha. Did you get it?
Can I read it? Yep.
Please go ahead. Whatever. Go for it. Yes.
All right, I'm doing it. How to confidently manage the chaos that your teen's illness causes by learning key life and stress management skills. Home life has lost its sense of safety and predictability. Parents are existing in fear and anxiety about their child's illness and behaviors. I dig it. You got to be a strong woman to hold an experience on something this heavy.
I know. That's why I switched it. But I could do it.
You could definitely do it.
Well, wait a minute. I'm a rock star and I could do that, but I don't want to do that for an extended period of time. I want to do something that I won't have that degree of stress because that's my day job now. I deal with that kind of stress all the time, heavy duty.
Okay.
Okay.
So what's the experience?
So you want
now?
My tools? Okay.
Tell
so
me the
my tools.
That you solve.
All right. So what I solve is I make life more manage. I help them get a more man. And I got to read my homework answer because now I'm nervous.
I just read your homework answer.
All right. No. So, yeah, but where did my actual answer for what problem I solved? I help them get management skills and how to deal with this chaos. I help them navigate the chaos so that they have a less chaos-filled life.
Okay. So I come to your experience and my life is chaotic. I have no
crazy.
Sense of control over anything that's happening. Oh, that's crazy. I'm so stressed and overwhelmed. Help
Terribly
me.
Terribly crazy. Okay,
all right, so
here it is.
So give me a specific area in my life where I'm feeling this chaos that you're going to help me find some simplicity.
Okay, so you are so stressed out that you have anxiety. You have anxiety. You're not sleeping. You're not having any peace.
Okay, so I'm not sleeping. How are you gonna help me with sleep?
Okay, but... Can we go, you want me to do sleep? Okay, so first thing is I was gonna go in a whole different direction and already did the answers because you were gonna ask me something different now.
Of course.
You're messing me up.
I
Marvin.
Got you.
You're messing me up. All right.
No, step
okay,
one
so
is
how
what?
Would I do? Step one is write down your present sleep hygiene plan. First thing, what do you normally do in order to go to sleep? So
okay,
identify
so my
what you
my sleep
doing.
Ritual.
Exactly.
My nightly
what do you
sleep
do?
Ritual. Okay, I write that down.
Two, figure out how many hours of sleep by using a specific app that you have that's available using your phone. How many hours of sleep are you getting? So you have to do like an assessment. That's two.
Okay, great.
Three, once you do that, then make a plan considering how many hours of sleep to adjust your sleep hygiene accordingly. So
okay,
let's
pause
say
right
you
there.
Have a habit of
make a plan. Okay. Like
well, yeah, I'm going to help
make
you
a
make
plan?
A plan. Step
how do
four.
I do that?
Step four is the plan. So
okay,
no, that's not right. Okay, sorry, I got you. So step three, assess whether what you're doing right now is working.
It's not working.
Assessment.
I'm not getting any sleep. I'm stressed out.
Step four, okay, now that's not it either. All right, I'm going as fast as I can.
Yeah, I got you, girl. You don't have to go fast.
You said we're in the hot seat.
You are in the hot seat. Okay. Yeah.
So step four is, so now you have to figure out, okay, so step four is reframe your sleeping patterns to getting more sleep by going to sleep earlier. Can I keep going? Or are you going to cut me off?
So you're telling me step three is, so I identify my sleep ritual. I take this sleep app and identify the lack of sleep that I'm getting. And somewhere in there, it's like, all right, I got to identify how much more sleep do I need to get, right? So I'm getting six hours, I need to get eight. So it's like, right. I need 2 more hours of sleep. So the next thing is, how do I adjust my sleep ritual so that it can enable me to get the additional 2 hours of sleep?
Exactly.
Okay.
So you
And then the next step would be, what's going to be the one thing you're going to implement first to begin making that adjustment?
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
That wasn't what I wanted to do. I had a whole good one here. It was so good too.
Well, if it's already good, then it's good, right? I want to work on the one that's not ready. We're spinning the hot seat. The one that's already good isn't going to help you guys. It's the one that we need to create that's going to be beneficial.
You are right. Thank you for helping me with that. I appreciate
it. My pleasure. My pleasure. Raise your hand if you have not been on the hot seat yet. Christopher's already got his hands up in the air. You saw the pause, Christopher. Go ahead and unmute yourself.
All right. Sorry for the over-eagerness, but this is an area I really need help with. So I'm here for this.
All right. I'm here for you, Christopher. Let's see. As long as that homework's turned in.
It is.
And it is. All right. Can I read out loud?
Yeah, please.
I'm going to skip the description. I helped him identify those one or two. Hold on. You just tell me, what problem do you solve? You got kind of a long description here.
Sorry. Think middle manager who's been in their career for 5-10 years. They've had some success. They're doing okay. But all their success in the past has been they control themselves. Now they're managing, like a sales manager, managing a sales team. Now he gets paid for their performance, not his or hers. And she struggles getting other people to perform. So they've gotten as far as they can on their talent. And they almost all have like one or two things that undo all the other good work they do. Like they can't emotionally self-regulate. So they're really good. People love them, but they're just an asshole every now and then. They just spin people out and it screws them up so they can't get further. That's the group I'm trying to work with.
So you're going to help a team leader get their team into peak performance.
Yep, identify the one or two things that get in their way of keeping their team consistently performing well instead of, porpoising.
Okay, all right, I got this team. And I know they have the potential to be peak performers, perform optimally. My performance is a reflection of their performance. I'm in your experience, you're facilitating this mastermind. What is the specific pain point that I'm having in this area right now?
I'm going to ask you to identify that what is it that gets in the way? Like, where do you either disengage your team? Where do you struggle to hold people accountable? Where do you struggle to, like, are you really good at giving critical feedback, but you can't give positive feedback? So your ratio is like 5 negative comments to 1 positive.
Let's start there. Boom. Negative? I'm terrible at feedback. Praise them when they do something right. I'm only pointing out when they do something wrong.
All right. Then the first
thing. Tell them not to be perfect, but I'm holding them to a perfect standard.
Right. So I would say first tool that I want to teach is how to become aware of your positive and negative ratio. So I'll use various different things. Like one tool that I'll teach is I call ethical criticism. But you can't criticize someone unless you ask permission to give them the negative feedback. And then they have to pick the time and the place to get it. So you have an adult to adult conversation, not a parent to child conversation.
Step one, I want to start praising my team more and construct it and giving them feedback more constructively.
Yep.
So step number one is what?
To get your ratio each day. You got to have some tracking form where every time you interact with people on your team, you're going to put a mark in the P or the N column. So you're going to positive or negative, add it down in the end, and there's going to be a ratio. How many positive to negative? And then you would text that to me every night for 30 days. No explanation.
Let's talk about this. How big is my team?
Could be 6, 8, 9, 12, 15, probably under 20. Most people don't have a team of more than 20 people.
And if I did, that'd be kind of hard to manage.
Exactly. And that's right? The whole
like the stats of that. All right. Yeah. So I keep track of, I have a tool, it's a little spreadsheet of every time I go down, right?
Yep.
Like, oh man, I criticized Karen and Bob 17 times today. I don't think they're very happy with me.
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly. I didn't praise them once. I got a 0-17 ratio here. This isn't good.
Exactly.
So I fill all that out. I submit it in 30 days. You give me a review. And then what?
We denominate the cost of mediocrity. So I need to look at, I need leverage for you to change. So the next thing is you got to denominate the cost of being mediocre, of not handling this, of not
being.
What's
step two though? What's step two?
Once you give me, once I get the ratio, then I got to denominate the cost of that behavior to your team.
Okay. So careful of like industry or knowledge terms, right? Or expertise terms. I'm a 5-year-old.
Okay.
What do you mean you're going to tell me specifically what the step is? How do I go apply that to my team?
We need to define how much money are you leaving on the table by not taking action?
How do I do that?
So let's say that you're a salesman. I'd ask you, okay, when you get on your team, when you start yelling at them, your ratio's off. Are there any days when that you get on your person, it spins out your salesperson, they go out to talk to their customer in person on phone or whatever it is, and their head's so spun out from what you've done, they're not focused on the customer and they lose a sale. What's a sale worth? How many times does that happen in a month? And then what's the actual cost of that? Multiply that across the number of people, and I can basically say, hey, this one behavior is costing about $250,000 a month for you.
Okay.
That gives me leverage to change.
So I'm aware of how many times I'm criticizing and how many times I'm complimenting. The ratio is skewed. You've given me a breakdown of how much is this costing me.
Yep.
What's step three?
Step three then is, now that I know how much it's going to cost you, now I need to find a way for you to practice and get feedback in real time.
Okay, so practice what?
Practice the new behavior.
What's the new behavior?
Being positive at a 3-to-1 ratio, 3 positives to 1 negative.
Okay, how do I know if I'm being positive?
We would define, ooh, that's a good, oh, I like that. I hadn't thought that through. I would create a top 10 simple ways that you could be positive, like body language, saying a compliment, giving a reason for the compliment, sending out texts. I'd have to think this through a little more, but I would need to get like I think I would have to give you 10 ways to be positive instead of making you come up with it.
That would help, right? Like tell me the habits to reinforce.
Yeah.
Tell me specifically what to do. All right.
10 tips to be positive. I'm just writing this down. Got it.
And then that's a tracking. And then we continue tracking after that, right?
Yep. And then I can keep that in the tracking mode. Okay.
And then we're changing the behavior. So it's like, hey, I still criticized Karen and Bob 17 times, but I gave him a compliment this time. So that's progress.
Right. 17-1. Like it's 17-2. Yes. Yeah. And then.
So I love what you're doing there.
Okay.
And the real shift that you're going to, the shift that you're going to create there is that little like basic simple habit, which is how do I shift from criticizing to complimenting?
Yes.
Right. To praising, to reinforcing, to supporting, and telling me very specific, like, how do I do this on a daily basis? And what specifically do I do?
Sorry, I'm writing.
You really want to dig deep? Like, from a team perspective, we're talking about money. It's like you're in charge of the performance.
Yep.
But it's like, and this, I don't know. You can tell me how you guys feel if this would anchor it in for you as well. But it's like, how do you think Karen and Bob feel at the end of the day when you've criticized them 17 times and didn't tell them one good thing that they did?
Got it.
Do you think they want to show up at their best for you? Do you feel like they feel supported by you, appreciated, loved, anything?
And wanting to perform at a peak level.
Yeah.
Like they're not going to.
Yeah. Tie into emotion and connection, because you're talking about a team and leadership, right? It's about the relationship, which comes down to communication, but also being very clear on, like, how do you think your team feels about you?
I like that. Okay.
Yeah, because that can anchor it in as well.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Well, I haven't got any warnings yet that we're going back to the main room just yet, so I think we still have a few more minutes. So raise your hand if you've not been on the hot seat yet. All right, we got the double hand up, and oh, we got 10 minutes. Oh, we got two more hot seats at least. They just put do you guys see it too? Or is it just me? Okay, Panamu. Yeah? Let's do it, girl.
Hi, everyone. My name's Panamu from New Zealand here. Okay, hot seat.
Yeah.
Wow, you guys are incredible. Thank you for everyone going first.
Yeah. Well, let's be real. The first participant did not have a choice. Lindy just got called in for going first.
I love that. Thank you.
Okay, may I share the problem you solve?
Absolutely.
How to grow organic food in 6 weeks so your family can benefit from organic fresh food and live a more sustainable life. By being exposed to chemical-laden foods that has a direct effect on the family's health and shows up as allergies. So the families that you're serving is having allergic reactions to the chemically-laden foods that they're currently eating, and you're going to teach them how to grow organic food in 6 weeks so they can benefit from organic fresh food and live a more sustainable lifestyle. I love it.
Easy, baby. Let's...
It's easy.
Easy.
Let's just put your whole mastermind together right now.
Kind of done.
Okay, so what's the pain point?
I think the pain point is the family's health is decreasing, and okay. A very strong desire to live a healthier life.
Okay, so why haven't they already started growing their own organic food yet?
Because they don't have the knowledge.
Okay, so they don't know where to start.
Don't know where to start.
All right, so here I am. I'm day one. I'm ready. Ready to get my greens. I'm ready to get my organic food. I'm ready to be healthy.
It's the one.
What do I do? What's the first step?
I think we need to assess where we're at. So where are we at today? And name that. I forgot on the tool that Dean's given us. And then where would we like to go?
Okay.
So what does the dream look like? What does the garden look like in the backyard?
Oh, I like it. Okay.
Okay, so...
So we created a kind of that clarity tool, right? Getting an idea of where you are and where you're going.
Yeah, that's one right. Clarity tool.
Tell me about like growing the food. What's the, you're going to teach me how to build a garden, basically? Yes. Is that what you're doing, organic garden?
Yes.
All right, yep. What's step one of building an organic garden?
I think understanding the why, it's important.
Okay, let's get past the mindset stuff of it. Like, give me the tactical tool here. What's step one? What's the actionable step that I can use to build the garden?
Site location.
Okay. All right. Where am I going to grow this garden? How do I know if it's a good site? What am I looking for?
You're looking for sunshine hours on that spot. You need 6 hours.
All right. I need to identify a spot that has 6 hours. What if it has sunshine the entire day and no shade? Is that bad?
Oh, no, that's good. Need
okay.
A minimum
so
of 6 hours.
Minimum of six, but it can be in its entirety. Okay. How big does the spot need to be?
Depending on how many people you're feeding. So say if it's just two, well, then it's going to be smaller. But if it's 12, well, we've got to go larger.
All right. So if there's – give me square footage by person.
Good question. Let's add that to the tool sheet, right? Yeah. No, cool.
Give me specific measurements instead of like, well, if it's two, it's like this. But if it's four, it's, you know, it's like this. Like, you know, you'll figure it out. You'll be fine.
Yeah. I think it's a square meter per four people, actually.
Okay, perfect. All right, I found my spot. It's perfect. Yes. It's right outside my kitchen window. I can see it. I can watch this stuff grow. I got my spot. Now what?
All right, so we need to teach you about seeds.
Okay.
Okay. Going for heirloom organic.
All right, I've done a brief tutorial on seeds. I've learned about seeds. Great, now what?
Okay, you need to sow some. So get some growing.
Okay, how do I do that?
Well, you can just recycle a container from your house. Get some seed resi mix, put the seed in.
A container from my house?
Yes, repurposing.
Okay, well, what kind of container?
It could be an ice cream container. I'm not sure if you guys have plastic ice cream containers.
Okay.
Put a few holes in the bottom.
All right.
Full of seed resi mix.
You're going to teach us how to make makeshift homemade containers to grow your organic food in. Okay.
That's the one.
All right. So I got my ice cream containers because I haven't started eating organically yet, so I've been feeding on ice cream. So I have all these containers. I've washed them out. I've poked some holes in them, and now I'm growing some plants in there, right? So I have these empty containers. What do I do with them?
Okay. So we've got seed resi mix.
So you're gonna give me a product list of all the things I need to buy to get this garden.
Yes, well done. Product list.
All right. So I have these products. I have this container. And then you're going to tell me step one, the first thing I put in this container is what?
Seed resi mix.
Okay, so I put that in. I layer that in. Yep. What's next step?
That's right. Then we need to label it. What seed am I growing today? Because you don't want to forget,
the whole
right?
mixture I put is, that's it? Like the seeds and everything is in the mixture? That's it? I got it. Yeah? Or do I put like a soil and then add the seed?
Oh, yeah. So seed, sorry, soil. We call it seed raising mix.
All right. So I put the seed raising.
Seeds.
And then I put the seeds in it?
Yes.
Okay. And then what?
You need to label it so you know what you're growing.
Okay, label it. And then what?
Forget. And then you want to water it.
Okay. How much water do I put in it?
You will just to keep it damp.
So how do I know if it's damp?
You'll put your hand on it and you'll feel it.
Okay.
You'll use your eyes. Oh, yes, it's damp. It's not dry. It's not saturated.
Okay. Or is it possible to give me like a specific measurement? If I'm using an ice cream container, a little 1/2 gallon of ice cream, and I fill it up 3/4 of the way up and I put those seeds in there, do I start with just 2 cups of water?
Okay. So get specific.
Sure.
Yeah.
To start until they get a feel for it.
Yeah, okay.
It's like, well, if you're cooking something, right? The first time you cook it, you follow this recipe. Second time, you follow it again. By the fifth time, like, you're not even looking at the recipe. You already know what goes in what, and you know how to do it, right?
Yeah, good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Be specific. Okay.
Okay.
All right. You feeling a little better about this process?
Yes, just going right into the nitty-gritty. Things I take for, because I do it all the time, you forget, you know, what's this and what's that. Yeah.
Okay. If you need to, guys, go find a 5-year-old and say, here are the instructions, build this and see how far they get.
Yeah, they'll still be at step one. You know, that's cool. Thank you.
My pleasure. So we got about 3.5 minutes. Who wants to do a quick hot seat? Raise your hand. Hirsch, your hand went up first. Let me find you.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right, cool.
Gotta find you. Permission to read?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. How to manage time, biohack sleep, and boost productivity while becoming healthier and spending more time with their families. They are facing a juggling act between priorities, work, financial pressures, family, and time for themselves, leading to poor performance, low energy, and burnout. All right. So you got some high achievers in your room.
Yeah.
People that are pursuing that upper echelon of life and performance and all things.
So what we basically do is go from a goal-centric time management perspective. So I would do the goal-setting workshop, a life stage workshop to increase urgency. Okay. The Destiny model, which is kind of similar to a GAP model tool.
Yep.
And goes with my Be the Dragon methodology, which is, you know, decode yourself, role model, act massively, grow, feed your body, mind.
Okay.
You know, spirit,
so what specific tool do you want to work on?
And network. I'm sorry?
What specific tool do you want to work on?
I was just kind of going through the whole aspect of it. So maybe just let me know if it's from an overview point of view, if I'm on the right track or.
Sure. Are you describing 3 different experiences here?
No, this is one.
Okay.
Cool. I mean, I could split it into multiple, but just from the whole vein of it, first you have to know what you want and why you want it.
Yeah.
Then we look at time and we do a time analysis, a time waster. I have a concept called time bending. I've got a wheel of time exercise, a little balance meter. So it all goes into that aspect of it.
Okay.
Then in productivity, you know, I can teach people how to be like the super learner really fast.
Okay.
Master key, challenge list, daily KPIs, you know, a Dragon Fire worksheet. Then on the sleep side, which is what I'm pretty much grabs everyone's attention because
that's a pretty drastic pivot.
Sleep 4.5. Well, it kind of goes with it because it frees up so much more time.
Okay.
Because now I can show people how to sleep 4.5 hours and still be even healthier than when they were sleeping 8-9 hours and have more energy, be healthy. And it kind of goes against what, you know, traditional everyone says and how I show how you back it up with, you know, brainwave manipulation, proper supplementation, inflammation reduction.
Okay.
So for that, I just kind of teach and then have like a checklist of specific things that they can do and get to do it. And then I helped them create a Dragon Forge routine. By the way, the whole dragon thing was my nickname, so that's kind of how it went into the whole becoming legendary.
How long is this experience?
I've done it in 4 hours before.
Okay.
But I can make it longer, and I can, you know, make it shorter as well.
I feel then I tie it all together into a one page.
Yeah. So while it seems complicated,
I feel like there's a ton of content for 4 hours.
It could be an eight hour approach of like,
let me teach you everything I know versus like, let me just focus specifically on what you need to know right now and let you implement this specific thing and then move forward from there.
But don't they all kind of tie in together a little bit, don't you think? Because then it goes into like a one page or how I manage everything on one page a day. So it becomes really simple. Like they just need their millionaire success planner, and that's the last step of it. So it kind of crescends into that aspect of it.
Yeah. Don't have enough time to go into a deep enough dive to answer that question for you. We're about to get broken out here in 10 seconds back to the main room. But I would, my focal point there would be, is it simple? The simplicity is what keeps people on board and keeps people progressing. Ooh!
I want everybody standing up, everybody excited. A lot of great stuff is happening. So you might as well go ahead and get it.
Yes!
There you go.
Yes. Welcome back. Yes. Yes. So excited. Jamie, are you having a good time? Yeah, okay, all right, I'm just checking. Alex, you having a good time? Yeah? All right, yes. I'm gonna call out some faces here. See who's distracted. Who's not playing full out for me. Yeah, who's dancing a little bit. Chow, you having a good time? Yeah. Rama, what about you, man? You look like you're real serious right now. You having a good time? Yes, excellent. Carmen, you having fun? I see you, Ginger. I see you, girl. I love these Zoom trainings. This is so much fun. I love seeing all you guys just playing full out. Raise your hand, had a great time on those hot seats. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? It's interesting to be put on the hot seat. You know how to teach this stuff. And it's like, all right, well, tell me the step-by-step process. And it's like, I haven't really looked at it from that framework before. So I know a lot of people were kind of struggling, like identifying what is the step one, step two, step three, step four, step five, however many steps it takes you to get you to that end result. But this is all part of the process, right? So what I want to invite you guys to do is utilize that Facebook group, guys. Now this is real specific. You can post in there, this is my tool, this is the 5, 7, 3, 2, whatever, how many steps it takes to implement this tool. Based on this description, does this make sense? Would you know how to take this tool and implement it and create this result? And then they'll tell you, right? They're like, you know what? 1, 2, and 3 totally makes sense, but I don't understand how I go from 3 to 4. 4 is just like, it's like you skip something there. And that's going to help you give a little perspective. Like, oh, all right, I would have tried to teach this and people wouldn't, they would nod their heads and follow along, but not really know how to implement it correctly because I was missing that step. And like I advise my group, if you're ever unsure, if you're not sure, like I think this is it, then go snag a 5-year-old, give them the instructions and say, all right, go implement this tool and see what happens, right? Yes. Isn't creating tools a little bit more fun, right? You're like, oh, all right, this is the stuff that I'm actually going to teach. When I start putting together the framework of these tools, you start to see how you create these shifts for these people, right? This is how you solve the problem. And when we can create the solution step by step, it starts to become more real. You're like, okay, all right, I can see now. If I go A, B, C, D, E here, this is going to overcome this specific problem for this person, and it's going to get them closer to that overall solution, right? Isn't that exciting? Yeah? Guys, I want all you guys to be as excited as Laura is right now, because Laura's got the biggest smile on her face, and she's so excited! Yes, I love it. So let's talk real briefly here about some housekeeping for the week. After this training, Skylar and Melanie, two of your high impact coaches, are going to go live and post the winners of the 12 one-on-one coaching sessions. So if you got your homework in by Sunday, not last night at 11:45 p.m., if you got it in by Sunday at 7, we drew some winners and we're going to announce who those winners are. And then we're going to be able to do a deep dive with one of our coaches to continue working on whatever it is that you want to work on at this point in your journey. Tomorrow, we're going to post the Q&A post in the Facebook group. So if you have any questions, post it on there. And then Rocky and I are going to show up Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Hopefully, Rocky will bring some energy, you know? Yeah, girl. I see you, girl. I see you, partner. So we're going to go live Friday at 11 a.m. PST. We're going to answer those questions, and then we'll answer any questions that show up on the live there as well. So make sure you guys have any clarity on what's happening there. And then again, you'll get the homework. So your homework, your template is going to be identify the name of your tool and the step-by-step process to implement that tool and the specific result that that tool creates. And then that homework's going to be due by Sunday at 7 p.m. And we're going to draw that next round of one-on-one coaching sessions. You guys all on board with that? You guys going to get that homework turned in Sunday by 7 p.m.? Mina, you going to get it turned in? Yeah? All right, girl. All right. I'll take a head nod. I like a hand up. If you want to give me a head nod, I'll meet you halfway. Awesome, guys. This was a fun training. I feel the energy shifting in the room already. I feel the clarity starting to seep in a little bit about what we're doing. Identifying the specific tools that we're going to teach really starts to help create the clarity around the problem that we're solving here. Candace and Paul, man, you guys look like really into it right now. I dig it. You guys are like, yeah, let's go. Bring the energy. Yeah. Awesome, guys. We're going to break out the session. This is our training for today, but you know we always go out in a peak state. So everybody, one last time, get on your feet for me. Edward, get on your feet. Melanie, get on your feet. Jorge, get on your feet. Jan, get off your phone and get on your feet. Steve, get on your feet. Come on, baby. Take it to a peak state. This is where everything that you want to create in your life lives. So take yourself to that high vibe and let's go out the way that we want to show up, baby, in the highest vibe possible. Yes, let's go, let's go, let's go. High vibe always. You guys have been amazing. This has been so much fun. I can't wait till next week. Ludacris going in on the verse because I never been defeated and I won't stop now. Keep your hands up, get them in the sky for the homies that ain't making it my folks locked down. I never went nowhere, but they saying Luda's back. Blame it on that contour. The hood call it Luda Yak. And I'm on this foolish track.